We have been focusing individually on the laws on the absolute Christian Science level. First, we focused on the law of divine impulsion, then the law of individualization, then the law of eternalization, and then the law of pre-established form. We focused in order to be aware of the operation that is occurring at that particular place within that level, within that dimension of the model of being. And that's a valid activity, and it's an activity that we must all do in order to have those place values cultured in our consciousness, lest we inadvertently operate antithetically to those place values. But after we've done that, after we've cultured them individually and lovingly and deeply, after we have a feel for each individual law within that level, within that dimension, it is a wonderful and necessary operation to bring them together, to feel them as one cybernetic operation, as one occurrence, as an input, process, output, feedback operation that is going on really simultaneously. And if that's so, then we have to get a feel for those laws that is more cohesive, that is put together. And of course, Max Kepler has graciously understood that need and therefore named the whole level with another law called the law of spontaneity. Because in truth, that's what's going on in that whole dimension, on that whole level. So by way of refocusing our consciousness today and for our own inner need to feel the oneness of this operation, the cybernetics of this operation, we will begin today with this law of spontaneity and see how one place value very logically leads to the next and the next and the next, and really that back to the first, and how it's really a cybernetic loop that is always going on in consciousness. And so we will start with that first position, that input position, that position where the one subjective being is impelling everything that it is forth into expression. It has a deep desire within itself, an urge within itself to bring new ideas into existence, to bring factors of its being together in a new way. And in order to do this, it has a wonderful processing plant within itself, second position, the processing plant of its consciousness. And at this particular dimensional focus point, what is occurring is the transformation of the whole of that being into its individualized state, at which point we can gently move to the next position and see the eternalization of that objectified state through its capacity to maintain and preserve that which it has brought forth. Therefore, moving on to what appears to be the fourth position, we have a unification of that deep being with its objectified state You have an ideational consciousness, or that objectified state, embedded within the cybernetic model. So once again, it always brings us back to that position of wholeness, where we see that even though we have focused in on the various operations that are going on within that model, that it's really all going on within the cybernetic model, and it's all happening in a timeless occurrence. I have, in the books that you have before you, flowed through that cybernetic loop in many different ways. And some of those we're going to share together today and just kind of penetrate deeply within so that we can get a feel for what is happening on this entire dimension. We'll start again with that divine being, incorporeal being, which from the well of its life is conceiving that which it is. It has an urge within itself to bring forth the character of its being, the nature of its being. And whatever it's going to bring forth is going to be purposeful and perfect. And within the operative power of that being, within the operative power of its Christ consciousness, that being is able to reduce the whole of itself to specific calculations, to micromodels of its being. And with its capacity to father and mother those models, it holographs those micromodels into a cohesive, integrated macromodel. Eternally holding every facet, every micromodel in its divine positioning, that it may always be fed from the spring of its life, that it may always be nurtured and embraced from the containment of its love. And with its eternal stability, is able to do this infinitely. And it's able to calculate itself infinitely, altering its form, transfiguring its form, overforming itself, yet always retaining the deep structure of its being. So as its wonderful sense of system is just operating, as the cybernetics are operating, nothing is altered within the deep structure. The characteristics of that being remain the same. Its basic sense of operation remains the same. Its ability to dimensionalize itself, to understand itself, remains the same. And yet the expression that's within there is infinitely new, always, infinitely bringing out variations of its form. It's really wonderful, isn't it? So we're beginning to get a feel for how this whole law of spontaneity, this whole dimension, is operating. We, unfortunately, with our particular type of consciousness at this point, seem to have to take it from step to step to step. Being, of course, does not do that, not even at this dimension. It really is able to, my nice word, grok itself. It's really able. It has the capacity within itself to be conscious of the totality of its operations simultaneously. It doesn't have to do a linear type perception, which is what we're doing now. So again, we'll just keep doing this until we get a rhythm within ourselves, until we feel very deeply within ourselves this particular cybernetic operation. So again, we're feeling that deep creative urge within being to express what it is, to express the divine source, the input, the nature of its being. And knowing then that it has the operational power within its deep consciousness to process this quote-unquote information of its being, and in so doing is able to bring out those wonderful, unique configurations of its being, is able to bring out what I have called the beautiful micromodels of itself, each micromodel being ordained to fulfill a very specific goal within the whole. And in order to do this, it's able to focus in upon all of these specific calculations, these specific configurations within its consciousness. It's able to arrange and consider the specific equations necessary to produce these models. And you can get a feel. It's a sense of geometrics. It's a sense of mathematics that within this consciousness, it's able to form. It's able to bring out specific configurations and form itself. It's able to focus in and draw forth from itself the specific qualities necessary, the specific patterns that it needs to bring out these very specialized models of its being. And then within itself is forever holographing these micromodels into what I called a quote-unquote crystalline macromodel, where every facet, every component part, every micromodel is sustained and preserved by the deep sense of fatherhood and motherhood that is inherent within that being. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful to realize that that infinite, supreme being is able not only to bring forth specialized configurations of its being, but automatically sustains those configurations, sustains that expression, and automatically embraces it within the totality, the matrix of its being. It just takes it and enwombs it. It takes it and embraces it within the confines of its own being. So it can never get lost. It can never be separated. It can never fall apart. Can never be ejected. It is always held there for eternity, expressing. It's wonderful. And thus it establishes itself as a divine cybernetic model, capable of infinitely restructuring itself in such a manner as to overform its basic form, yet retain its intrinsic equilibrium. We should be so grateful that it's doing this, that it's able to do this, because it really foreshadows and foretells the maintenance of all that we are and the eternalization of all that we are and the purpose that we play within the whole and the fact that truly that which we are, that form that we are, is forever operating in concordance with that cybernetic model, that it can never operate independently and doesn't need to feel that it has to. It just needs to let go of its own belief of being independent. It just needs to tap into its own deep inner consciousness, awaken through scientific understanding to the true form of its being, which really exists at this place value, on this dimension. It's just a lovely thing to consider. And by virtue of exercising this dimension, by virtue of exploring this dimension and making it very real for ourselves, we can also explore it in the same manner as we did the laws individually. We can, for example, see that the mind of that being has an urge within itself to bring forth the specific qualities of its mind, to express its mindness. And therefore we can see in the Christ consciousness of that mind that it's able to focus in on the specific configurations of its being, and therefore is able to bring out the specific qualities of its mind. And then in the Christianity aspect, see with that mind that it's able to holograph itself, that it's able to join all of those qualities together into a holographic mind, which it then preserves and embraces forever within its mind. It's wonderful. So then, in the science aspect of it, we see that we have a very scientific mind at work, which is forever fulfilling this operational sense. It is forever able to focus in and configure and bring out the specific qualities of its mind. Were it not able to do that, we could not even begin to perceive those specific qualities. We could not even begin to understand that mind through its intelligence, through its power, through its information, through its law, the very thing that we're so deeply considering, through its ideationalness, through its ideas, through its images, through its very ability to create, to produce, to bring forth. So it's wonderful to consider that we can do this because being has the capability within itself to reduce itself to the specific qualities and configurations of its being, thereby in this instance, mind having the capability of bringing forth the specific new views, the specific expressions of its mind. We can simultaneously see, or in our sense maybe not quite so simultaneously, that spirit has that same urge to bring forth the specific aspects of that which it really is comprised of, that it is able to focus in upon its own nature, that it is able to bring forth into expression that nature, its reality, its order, that which we perceive, and possibly it does too from a different standpoint, as good. The fruits that we so love to experience could not be experienced if that spirit didn't have an urge within itself to bring forth that which it is, to bring forth the prism, the reflection, the reality of that which it is. And then, of course, in the mother standpoint of the law of spontaneity, that spirit likewise would be able to preserve and feed the qualities of its being. It is the same with the other facets of the infinite being, that soul then would have an urge to bring forth identity, bring forth all facets of its own being. That principle would have an urge within itself to express the structure of its being, the science, the system, the harmony of its own internal being. If it didn't have that desire, there's no way that it could ever express as dimension, as a model, as an organization at all. That life has an urge within itself to bring forth its individuality. the uniqueness and the energy, the dynamics of its own being. One can only guess what would happen if life didn't have a deep desire within itself to bring forth life, to bring forth the expression of that which it is. And truth, that deep urge within its being to bring forth that which it is, to bring forth consciousness, to bring forth form. That's what we've been talking about, isn't it? That deep desire within truth to bring out its form. And is it so surprising then that in this sixth millennium we are becoming so scientifically conscious of the form that that truth is bringing out? Considering it, of course, from that perspective, the scientific perspective, the calculus perspective, the perspective of configurations and the understanding of that form. And then we have that wonderful aspect of being, the love of being, with a deep urge within itself to bring forth that which it is, to bring forth its specific configurations, to bring forth then the integration of that being, the unity of that being, the perfection of that being, the optimum of that being, and to just see that all of this is going on. So before, when we have said that being has an urge to bring forth what it is, that automatically included the prism of being that we've just taken a look at, that the sevenfold aspect of that being has truly had an urge within itself to bring forth the configurations, the specific qualities, the new forms of its own being, of its own mind, its own spirit, its own soul, principle, life, truth, and love, of all of the aspects of that being, and then forever to feed them and eternalize them, to hold them within the embrace of the matrices of its being. And what a wonderful symbol we have with that 7x7 matrix, where it truly is holding all of the qualities of the 7x7 embedded within its matrices, embedded within that. And therefore, within that, we can see matrices within matrices within matrices, always going on as this macro model is always embracing within itself all of those wonderful micro models, all of those wonderful configurations of those qualities that the 7 have just brought forth. And from this vantage point, to ever keep in mind that it has touched into the source of its being, that it is gathering the information required to produce this new form, which it then holographs into a self-sustained whole, like unto that which it sprung forth from, but unique in its internal patterning. So as this cybernetics is always going on, it's always bringing out unique patterns within the infinite patterning of that being. It's very dynamic. It's really wonderful what's going on. If you just sit with this for a long time, or walk around with it, or hold it in your consciousness throughout the day, that spontaneity, that law of spontaneity, will just start working consciously within your being all the time. Not just one facet of it. That's the problem of just focusing in on one facet, just the law of divine impulsion, just the law of individualization or eternalization or pre-established form. Though that is a necessary thing to do and a wonderful thing to do, we must let them all come together so that we let the whole cybernetics come together. Quite often, in my experience and in teaching and in working with individuals through these laws, it comes to pass that they feel that what appears to be demonstration is not maybe instantaneous. And certainly we understand that, and certainly we understand that as the Christ consciousness urging that within us to purify and to find its correct conjunctions. But one of the things that I've noticed does hold that back is the more our consciousness is fragmented, the more it seems to focus on just individual ideas or just individual sentences way back in the period when we were considering things atomistically. But even here with considering law, that if we just consider one aspect of the law or just one law itself, it isn't near as dynamic and near as operable within our consciousness as if we're always holding in consciousness and working with, for instance, this entire cybernetic operation with the law of spontaneity. So we can't shortcut the scientific understanding that's necessary to imbue and imbibe those specific laws, but let's not stop there. Let's always bring it back to a whole operation and give ourselves the opportunity to do exercises with that, to just know that mind is bringing forth from the well of its being the specifics of its mind. It's bringing forth the power of its intelligence. And within that mind is eternalizing and preserving the power of that intelligence, and knowing that that power of intelligence is always operating within the cybernetic circuit of that mind. Can you feel how wonderful that is? You can take every specific equation that comes into being with the 7x7, that mind is bringing up the law of its intelligence, the information of that intelligence, and bringing out that specific quality and equation and reducing it to every specific opportunity in our experience as a positive equation that's going on, that the law of intelligence is at work in every opportunity, in every operation of our lives, and that it's being preserved and protected by mind itself, and that it's always at work within the cybernetic model of that mind. If we're always aware that all of those qualities that we're dealing with consciously or unconsciously in our lives are embedded in that cybernetic circuit, how wonderful the transformation in our lives is going to be. The implications there for handling certainly positive problems are enormous. So please just stay with that law of spontaneity for a while. Take it through the 7x7 and all of the numeral characteristics that are possible, and all of the combinations of those numeral characteristics, not as a mathematical drill, but as a warm opportunity to deeply embed ourselves within that cybernetic operation, and as an opportunity to see that truly the synonymous term, truly being itself, is that which is bringing forth those qualities, individualizing those qualities, eternalizing those qualities, and embedding them and all that we are within the cybernetic model of its being, and thereby in the cybernetic operation of its being. We'll turn the tape.